The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what the J stands for? I've always been, it feels like it's got to be like Jeremiah.
Judas.
Judas? Is that really what it is? Because that's
no, I have no idea what it is. I have no idea. I guess it's John or something like that.
Yeah.
Jigaboo. That's what it is.
I hope it's Your Majesty Edgar Hoover.
It's John. John, we're being told.
That's
it's
not John. Good enough. Womp, Your womp. Majesty, your main son, Edgar Hoover. Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Boris Kodjo is the ugliest name for the most handsome man to ever walk this planet. His parents knew that they had to even him out. They couldn't mess around and give this man a name, something beautiful like Meadowlark. You know what I mean? You got to give someone that pretty a name that is also beautiful. If you give them something beautiful, it's basically going to cause like a wormhole to open up, and we're all going to get sucked into the pits of hell. It's not possible. So thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Kodjo, for making the sacrifice that none of us were brave enough to make. This is the theory I'm spreading this week. It's pretty much true. I think it's the most true thing I've ever said anywhere, always, I think. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm your host, Langston Kerman. I'm rambling weird today. That's the energy I'm hitting you with. I don't know. Talking's hard, and buddy, I shouldn't have a podcast, but I do. You know who is a good talker? Who doesn't ramble funny? and probably he's got all the words. He's a man who's well versed in words and both funny and otherwise. He's so funny. I've known him for a while. He's a hilarious dude based out of New York, and he has so much cool shit going on. He has an amazing, he's on a show called Everything's Trash on Freeform that's coming out, and he has an amazing show on AMC called Can We Talk About This? So funny. You guys are gonna love him. Please give it up for my guest, Mr. Jordan Carlos.
Thank you. Yeah. All right.
Hell yeah.
I feel like I'm not entering anything. I'm pointing the band. Those guys are great. Thanks, Questlove.
Thank you, Roots. Black Thought.
Thank you, Roots. That other guy. That's poor Roots. It's just this. We only know two of them, and that's it.
Yeah, I always feel bad when people come out and they're like, "We love the Roots," you know, with Questlove and Black Thought and the rest.
Yeah, you can stop there. Yeah, you can stop it. Yo, man, yeah. It's been a minute.
It has.
I'm proud of all that you've done. I'm Thank really happy you. For you, man. Same. You're doing it. Black man successful.
The feeling is mutual. I'm so happy you're here. You've been hysterical for a long time, and you came to us with what I think is a very hysterical conspiracy theory.
Is it hysterical? Is it hysterical, Langston?
Or it's really funny to me.
Serious, dead ass, serious. That one of our own. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. It's haunting if true, but it cannot Woo! Not be funny. Woo! You said my mama told me.
J. Edgar Hoover was black.
Around my house, we call him J. Hoover.
Now, J. Hoover.
J. Hoover. J. Hoover was...
You throw up a little rock sign, but it don't mean the same thing.
J. Hoover definitely had a thing against black folks. We know mm-hmm. that, a la the Lucas Brothers, Judas and the Black Messiah, we thank him for that. But
yeah,
I'm a Black History Month Quiz Bowl champion. Uh-oh. I knew that J. Hoover was dirty to begin with.
Yes.
And gully and just gross, disgusting. But on top, I mean, like, he just couldn't sleep at night thinking that black people were happy. He was that guy.
No, he had a very sick vendetta against a few groups. I don't want to make it so that black people are the only ones that he was targeting, because I think it's important that we acknowledge he hated a lot of folks.
But boy,
did he have a special taste in his mouth for nigga blood. He really wanted nigga blood and worked real hard to get it.
Exactly. But the thing about it was, I mean, a special taste for it because it ran through his veins.
Yes.
And welcome so to you, my TED Talk.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm here to listen. Don't let me ramble.
Yeah, no, please.
I have so many questions.
Please go ahead, man.
Tell me for you where you first became aware of J. Edgar Hoover and his alleged black history.
Just looking at this Negro. Do you see what I'm saying? He looked like some of the deacons on the deacon board.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay. He got Indian in his family. You know, like, just looking at him, he's got the pince-nez. We all got that one cousin who's got the pince-nez. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so looking at him, the slick back hair, his skin, he was always dark, right? He was always dark. And I was like, let me look it up. So I said, Google J. Edgar Hoover Young. He looked like my dad. You know what I'm saying? Or at least my grandfather. I mean, when you look at other people that chose, like, he was, okay, so the author Gore Vidal wrote books like Aaron Burr, really great author, and public intellect, things like that, in the 1960s and early 1970s. So Gore Vidal grew up with J. Edgar Hoover, and he's in D.C., and he said, Gore Vidal would embellish, but he's not one to lie, and he said that everybody knew that the Hoovers passed for white.
Yes.
Everybody knew it that grew up in D.C., but it's just like, that was just like a rumor out there, you know what I mean? And it was hard to make that accusation because of the power of J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, it's so funny because I love that you brought up the pictures, right? That so many of his pictures, he sort of like looks oddly like a light-skinned black person. And one of the things that I felt in looking at a lot of his pictures is how much he benefited from like the black and white era of photographs, right? That like, it has to be intentional that we're not seeing color pictures of this dude, because he's going to be noticeably darker than all of these other people he's like bossing around at these FBI tables. You know what I mean?
Colored pictures of this colored man. You're absolutely right. Now, you know, that was my first inkling. I was like, Gore Vidal knew that about him. And then there's that kind of, to me, I took that, I ran with it. I was like, I know what it is to be like, to get over one's own internalized racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, J. Edgar Hoover never did. He hated himself on a lot of levels. He was never living his truth, right? So he was closeted gay, right? And so, like, he took it out on gays. And so he took it out on blacks. And, like, all the people that he had a beef with, that was who he was. So that makes me know that, like, all the more that that's what he was about, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so there's also no schools named after Jehovah. There's none named after him, which tells me definitely black man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny because part of the reason I imagine that people aren't necessarily like eager to put his name on things is despite the fact that he obviously was a dickhead to black people. Dickhead's probably too light of a word. He was
that's fine.
A silly billy to the blacks in the days. But on top of that, he was kind of known as an asshole to everybody else. Like, it wasn't as if like everybody was like, yo, you know who I fuck with? Is J. Edgar Hoover. You know who I really just like hanging out with is that motherfucker J. Edgar Hoover. He tells great jokes.
I know. I mean, he got rid of like people like John Dillinger, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, like the gangsters, the public enemies of the 1920s and 30s. And it's like, you know what? They were fun. Right. They were fucking fun. And you know what? It was white and black wanted to see him go away, but we didn't have the power at the time. You know, I mean, it's not like John Dillinger was going to be like lining up with black folks to make Hoover go away, you know, but, you know, there were many people in the race that did not like him, but there were many people in his crosshairs. And the thing about it was, I think it just came from his own lies about himself and the BS about himself. And he had a particular thing for Marcus Garvey in the Black Star Line. Right. Mm-hmm. So he went to a point like he made a name for himself in about 1918. Come with me now. You see me just pump the glasses right there?
That's listen, those glasses you know are moving.
You know what that is? You know what that is? We're going to go into deep, big facts. Big facts pop up. We're going into big facts. Now, young J.H. was like, OK, I'm here in D.C. This is going to be some got the yak. This is going to be some black drunk black history real quick. So he's trying to make a name for himself. So no problem. He's trying to make a name for himself in D.C. And I think he was working at the time for, you know, there wasn't like a the FBI wasn't a thing yet. Right.
No.
So that was not a thing. Yeah. Right. So but he was working in that version, what the historic version of that. So basically he had to make a name. And so Marcus Garvey had kind of been on the radar of the government because he had the audacity to shit. To ship black people from one place to the other, or black owned made products from one place to the other.
Yeah, without, it was like, what if we go back to where we come from? And white people were like, wait a goddamn minute. We're going to have to create a branch of the government to deal with this motherfucker, because that is not okay.
He was an unwieldy, unruly Negro. I mean, shouts to Garvey. Shouts to Garvey. I always loved that one. Like, he's just like, he's in the back of that car, just looking. It's like a rap video, you know what I'm saying? He's got like this uniform on. Never went to war, but he's got like a general's hat on.
Yeah, and he knew what he was doing. Like,
he knew what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's stirring them whites up. He's stirring them whites. I'm sure some of them were like, do we have to call it Black Star?
He's not a star to me.
Yeah. So white people got, they got shook, the fragility of it all. And so So then Hoover was like, I'm your man, right? He went so far. So he had, I can't remember the first agent that he employed, because he couldn't go himself, right?
Right.
He totally could. He totally could. It was fine.
You've
seen Dr. Daniel Hale Williams. You've seen Dr. Charles Drew. I remember in Black History Month, they'd be like, Dr. Charles Drew, Black History Month icon. I'm like, him? Are you sure? He white.
There's got to be some other doctors we could pull up, because he's not exactly showing up the same way.
Yeah, Dr. Daniel Hale Williams is whiter than Vermont, dude. But like, you know, it's like, so anyway, he employed this one black man who's, by the way, his name was Worm. His middle name was Worm.
Whoa. And
yeah, yeah.
I don't know about Worm. Tell me more about this Worm character.
Nobody came to his funeral. Fuck that guy.
Fuck.
So this Worm guy basically was the first kind of like black FBI agent. Mm. And he infiltrated Garvey's operation and got them to, you know, like basically planted the seeds of mistrust.
right,
within the organization, and then went so far, like, so Hoover had him even do things like sabotage, like throwing pieces like of junk and metal into the gas tanks of the Black Star Line ships. Yeah. They wanted this nigga to fail. I mean, that's not even, usually it's like observe and report, right? That's right. That's like what the government's job is to do. But they're like Hoover was like, that's not enough.
You're supposed to really use like time travel rules as the government. You know what I mean? Like you look at it, but you don't fuck with it. And instead, he was like, "Nah, I'm gonna touch that almanac. I'm gonna see what I can build from burning down everything that this dude is trying to build."
Absolutely. So he basically got Garvey deported back to Jamaica, ruined him, and was able to like use those closest to him to sabotage him. And that's what made a name for, J. Hoover.
Right.
I mean, and then he, like, look, you take the values of your, take on the values of your oppressor to hope for better treatment. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's so, what I was going to ask you is, and I'm just curious to hear your thoughts because you're clearly very well versed in your boy J. Hoover.
I am.
Is how much of his behavior do you think was like ingrained in him from the beginning that like as a family, they just decided we don't like niggas and we going to do everything we can to be mean to them, even though we are them? Or was this like, oh, you got some affirmation, you got a pat on your head from like how hard you went at Garvey, and so now that's going to be like your signature move. Do you know what I mean?
Most people that like, because J. Edgar Hoover was never elected anything.
Right.
He was a political animal in D.C. So he understood how to work things. He understood like, it's not about who knows you, it's you know, who you know or whatever it is, the levers of power. He understood how to work that. He knew the game was not a game. But I feel like what probably started was like, it can't just be one thing. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot in that gumbo. It's like he probably definitely passed or didn't pass the doll test. You know, when they give you the bad black doll. And like, you're supposed to like, yeah, you know it.
I don't. You know that. Tell test. Me more.
You don't know that test?
I don't think so.
Bro, you got a daughter, right?
Yeah.
You need to be putting some black dolls in that crib immediately.
Oh, she can't use her fingers yet. So I
it doesn't matter. By the time they're three, the messages have already, they've already got the messages that black is bad. So it's like a test where they present a white doll and a black doll. And then they're like, which doll is the bad one? And then usually the person administering the test is like,
black. Right. Yeah. This one seems pretty naughty, huh, kids? Wait, they do it did you quick. Say something? Did you say something crash, Shaniqua? This doll's cursing. Maybe don't pick that one.
But the worst part of the doll test is that the kids make the connection. They're like, okay, so the black children take the test. They're like, this black doll is bad. And then they're like, so do you mean you're bad? And then because you're black? And they're like, yeah, I'm bad. Fuck. So it's like by the, yeah, man. So it's like, I think he didn't pass the doll test and we've been paying for it ever since.
Right. You know,
so it was like, and he had this thing about like black people that were living their best lives, he could not stand. So like Dr. King, remember he was like Dr. King. Because I mean, listen, Martin Luther the King. great is a god and a great man, but yes, he was loose with the dick, and that's, you know, we know that, you know, we know that J. Hoover used that against him, you know, and was like, that's why he was like, King, you're a filthy liar.
Yeah, it's one of the things that probably is going to be helpful for people to put this in context is that J. Edgar Hoover worked as sort of like the head of the quote unquote FBI, then becoming the FBI for 47 years. So he spanned some black men's lifetime to fucking torment people, which meant that like he really got his hands in a lot of shit. There, it wasn't just like, oh, he had a couple big hits. He really was a part of sort of like the threat for so many generations of black and brown people.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what he did was like, he just had a special, I mean, let's say he had a hard on, you know what I'm saying? He had a hard on for any black leader on the come up, and he took them all out. Even Sam Cooke, like he even took out Sam Cooke. So by the, like, he's kind of the reason why there's a certain disenchantment or like a certain piece missing for, I think, black people when it comes to like leadership. We're just like, they killed all our leaders. You know, they did it all in like 5 to 10 year span. And with that, it's just like a giant hole was left. And J. Edgar Hoover's stupid head is in the middle of that hole. So it's like, I feel like he was just like grinning like, yeah, I did it.
It makes me think that so much work could be done. Granted, they've done horrific things for generations, even past J. Edgar Hoover, but so much work could be done if the FBI even just took the time to denounce some of the actions that he took during the time that he was sort of like their quote unquote leader. That like, if they just came up and were like, yo, no lie, he was bugging. Our bad on that one. That wasn't exactly how we run things. But instead they go, nope, great man, flawless figure, nothing to talk about. And we move forward. And it's like, I don't know, man, you can't write these like every year the fucking the Twitter for the FBI is like, we miss you, Martin Luther King. And it's like, you don't get to do that because you won't fucking say what actually happened.
Well, of course, they miss him. They used to bug his hotels and just like they love. I mean, listen, the day King died, he sent Coretta like this insane tape with all like just like like bedroom noises of King, whatever. Like that's how that nigga said my condolences. And then
right.
And then before that, he sent a letter to King saying he should kill himself. That like obviously Coretta read. You know what I'm saying? Like he was just like, I was like, what? Don't you have anything else to do, man? Aren't there any other crises in the country? He's like, no, the Negro, like the Black Messiah will come and just like, he'll take us over. Yeah. We're only 1 in 10 of the people in the United States. But
what a silly letter that. Though, huh? You know, for him to be sitting there, he's like, dear Martin, I hope this letter finds you well. Maybe you should kill yourself. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about it?
It says, it starts King. It's like, King, you are an animal. That's how it begins. Just having your breakfast, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Again, I think I have a sick sense of humor. There is a fun... There is a part of me that has so much fun with antiquated racism, like the things that people felt comfortable saying at a certain point that we've now like socialized out that they probably still actively believe. But like you don't say it, like calling somebody an animal is so fucking funny of being like you animal,
you fucking animals, you fucking savages.
I love it so much.
Oh, God. And for those reasons, I know he was a Negro. Like, I don't know why.
And if you do all the math, you can clearly see.
No, I mean, okay, those are some trap moves, though. That's some trap nigga shit when you're telling somebody to kill themselves in a battle.
Yeah.
That's some niggerish shit.
He behaved in a way that was too passionate for him not to have personal stakes in this fight.
Absolutely.
That it can't be just you acting completely for your job. Nobody cares that much about protecting the produce at Target. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you're doing a
thing that has to be personal for you. And so, yeah.
It was also above and beyond. This is how I knew he was not white, right? So, like, he had this thing, it was like in the 1930s, excuse my 1930s impression voice, where he's like, hey, Junior G-Man, sign up today. You're going to be a G-Man? Be a G-Man. Right? Yeah. he was like, we get the best and the brightest. Why the tallest? You know, the fairest, the tallest, the best. Like, and they all, it was just over 6 feet tall. You had to be white, over 6 feet tall, and have like a high school degree. But they all look like male models. So I was like, this guy is just doing rose ceremonies.
Yeah.
He wants boys to look at. You know,
yeah, he's just collecting buff boys to be his special team of buff boys that he wants. Which is fine,
as long as you're honest about what you're doing. He wasn't, you know, yeah. And like, yeah. So like,
you should say, I'm collecting buff boys. I enjoy buff boys. And also, if you enjoy killing black leaders, you can be a part of that. And they'll be like, yeah, no, it's 1930. It's not like people are going to be like, what the fuck? They'll be like, yeah, no, that sounds pretty cool to me. I'll be a buff boy.
Yo, man, I'm going to tell you something. I actually got to interview a guy that worked side by side with J. Edgar Hoover.
Whoa. And so,
yeah. So like, I was like, was he ever late? And he was like, that's strange. He was 5 to 10 minutes late sometimes at work.
Damn.
I was like, see? Black. You know what I'm saying? Like, did he like
Sprite? I really thought that was going to go somewhere like super insightful and deep. And you're like, nope, black.
Black.
That's perfect.
He was like, no, Hoover was very good to his black employees. He shook his hand, the hand of his driver and his maid. And I was like, oh. my man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't know what good is, and that's a different thing that we got to work out.
yeah. But I'm convinced, bro. I'm convinced. Damn. I'm just saying. I can't be
talking. All right. Well, this is some heavy shit. You got some real insights. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back with more Jordan Carlos and more My Mama Told Me.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we are back.
He gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
We're back. We're back here with more Jordan Carlos. We're still talking about J. Edgar Hoover and the possibility, the real possibility that yes. he was a black man. A black man who hated being a black man and thus punished other black men. A real sick cycle happening in that fucko's head. Okay, let's jump into some of this research because,
please.
And you've already covered a fair amount of it, and you've hit a lot of the important points. But J. Edgar Hoover, he's the head of the FBI for 47 years. He's best known for his efforts to, number one, take down black people, number two, take down the gays, and number three, take down communists. And he often right. sort of leveraged the three of them against each other as a way of conflating and capitalizing on whatever he wanted from that group.
Absolutely.
Amongst his greatest hits of shit that he did, Marcus Garvey's Black Star Line, which he was able to sabotage. He also famously launched COINTELPRO, the FBI's counterintelligence program, where leaders of the civil rights groups, such as the Black Panther Party, were gunned down with FBI involvement. And most famously, and you hit this, he was the person who greenlit the raids in the ultimate assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah. A lot of classics under his belt, you know?
Great guy. Always invited to the cookout.
Sure.
I feel like, yeah, man. And he also, we don't talk about Brother Malcolm, but he also so Bumpy Smalls was protecting Malcolm in the final days after Malcolm wild out and said mm-hmm. Elijah, remember when he was on TV, he said, Elijah Muhammad got babies by different women.
I love your Soulja Boy interpretation of Malcolm X. Elijah Muhammad.
But I know that the FBI was they had an FBI informant in his protection. So yes. they'd actually infiltrated. So but they were mad at the guy that had infiltrated because he tried to save Malcolm's life after he was shot. He did mouth to mouth, and they were like, What are you doing? Right. Trying to shame him. That's not what you do. You suck the wind out of him.
Those chest compressions could have saved this man. Are you
crazy?
Any one of those 40 bullets we pumped into him might have popped out, and he could have kept living. Are you fucking psychopath? He couldn't have helped him. You killed him good. You killed him real good.
Did it real good. But yeah, man, I mean, I just didn't want that hit not to go unnoticed.
I think that's totally fair. You're right to have brought it up. And I will say that despite all of that, J. Edgar Hoover's greatest scandal was not so much his racism, at least according to white history, but it was actually, as you mentioned, his closeted homosexuality and cross-dressing. Yes. Those were the things that were sort of most famously associated with him. And I have to assume that some of the, I don't even know if it's the correct term anymore, but the quote unquote cross-dressing may not have even been a thing that they could as much prove, but a thing that they accused him of because of his closeted background and just people fucking with his his name, as it were.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's more or less about homophobia. And leveraging homophobia at J. Edgar Hoover's legacy. But in the first place, I mean, if he was queer, which it looks like he was, then, because he lived with his driver, Clive Tolson, and Clive Tolson was the one that, he left everything, his estate to him. And what I think it points out is that to be gay at the time was to be hunted, right? Mm-hmm. But he did know, he could have done so much for people like himself, but instead it was listen, we're gonna be it's equality for me but not for anybody else,
yes.
And so in these kind of lavender scares of the 1950s, where they purged government of this threat, that basically what it was the thought was that queer people could be leveraged by communists because of their sexual identity. and so that they would be compromised, right? So they'd be compromised. And Hoover thought that about gays. What he thought about black people was they also could be easily compromised because they weren't too smart in the head.
Right.
So they weren't too smart in the head. So that's why people like Paul Robeson or W.E.B. Du Bois, like, who were actually communists, like, he felt that they were, he almost pitied black people because he thought they could have no original thought on their own, that they were easily swayed. And we see it today, where it's like, you'll see like, oh, like BLM is just a Marxist organization. They're easily swayed by the Marxists.
Yeah.
And people are like, nah, you know, a lot of folks in America don't even know what the fuck Marx is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
like, we're just trying to not get shot, nigga, when we go to the store. Yeah. You know, like, how is
I'm
that?
Not being swayed. I'm just asking you not to kill me. Is, yes. I think you're mixing those two, but yeah.
Langston, I'm going to tell you something wild today. Like, that's the insanity of the police state, right? So, like, back in the day, violence, I mean, like, in the 19th century, all the way up to the early 1980s, like, there was kind of more, like, white mob violence, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you worry about being in a neighborhood and a white mob would get you. We've taken the time to organize that, and that's just the police's business. So, like, I remember this morning, I was walking my dog, and this is crazy. This dude came through, and I live in a nice neighborhood, so, like,
yeah.
So I was offended, but this guy came through. it's the time of the crazy. So he came through. He had a spear, like something a gladiator would have. It was a 3-foot spear, yeah, with a double-edged spear. And I was like, good morning, haven't had my coffee. And my man is just like kind of walking hard, trying to break into cars. And I'm like,
with a spear? Shit.
Well, he's got the spear, but he's trying cars. He's just trying doors.
The spear is just his spear that he carries. His hands are the ones that are. Okay, I got you.
So I'm like with my dog and I'm like, you know, I'm having a little New York minute. I'm like, should I call this in? Absolutely. So like, I call the cops. I'm literally describing myself. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, fuck.
So I had to hang out in the dog park while they looked for this motherfucker, because I'm like, yeah, okay, so he had black hoodie on, you know what I'm saying, like black jacket, he had Adidas pants on and some like classic Jordans. I'm like, shit, nigga, I'm wearing the same thing.
I love the idea that that you had to go as far out of your way as possible to not accidentally call this man a spear chucker. And that to me speaks
I hadn't
greatly
to
your heroics.
Thank you. It was a little trauma in the morning before I had my coffee, but I was like, oh my God. But I realized, you know, I can't call the cops. I might as well just get in the cruiser myself. So
right.
Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that story.
But, no.
but shit is wild.
I do think that some of what J. Edgar Hoover did is not often sort of like communicated, in that he helped to create a culture that's bigger than the actual like choices that he made, right? That like so much of our understanding of the current police state, it's the shit he helped cook up in his early efforts to sort of like sabotage, to manage, to play these fucking weird mind games with our leaders. And so it isn't just limited to like, oh, he killed a dude and he was mean to these other ones. It's truly like, nah, he created the system that fucks with us today.
Absolutely. And he created a system of good guys, bad guys, right? Mm-hmm. Because in the 1930s, our heroes were like Bonnie and Clyde, John Dillinger, Al Capone, right? These were anti-heroes because people were on their back in the Great Depression. But he, you know, he busted all these people and he wanted people to feel that there was a fight against darkness. It was light and dark. And like, that's, I think, been the kind of like, that's been a constant theme throughout our history up until this point. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's those that are on one side of the gun or the other.
That's totally fair. And you talked a little bit about like the, you know, obviously Gore Vidal talks a ton about how he grew up around the family, the Hoover family, and everybody understood them to be quote unquote mulatto, which was obviously the term that they used at the time. Similarly, author Anthony Samuels, he has similar claims from families on the East Coast who all believed Edgar had black roots and even referred to him as Soul Brother. Soul Brother was apparently J. Edgar Hoover's nickname growing up. I assume not affectionately. I assume they weren't like, Soul Brother, you got it. It was more like, bitch ass Soul Brother, and he'd get angry and storm off.
Absolutely. They'd be like, Soul Brother, take the service interest. Leave us alone. Soul Brother, shine my shoes.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Why do they talk like that? But there was even one relative. I remember seeing this documentary about Jacob, and it was like one black relative that was like, this woman that said she was related to J. Edgar Hoover that said she wrote a book about it. And she said, we have a very powerful cousin.
Yeah.
In D.C.
Millie McGee. Yeah.
Millie McGee. Right,
Millie McGee claims she grew up in Mississippi. And she said in the late 1950s, as a young girl growing up in rural Macomb, Mississippi, a story had been passed down through several generations that the land that they lived on was owned by the Hoover family, and that their grandfather said that that Edgar was his second cousin and was passing for white. And yeah, he was this powerful cousin that they had, but they were so afraid to talk about it because he would potentially seek vengeance and kill them. That they lived under threat of violence because of the possibility of airing out that he is a black man.
See, that wouldn't be me. I'd come up to his crib in D.C. be like, what's up, cuz?
Yo, Eddie, throw down the key.
Oh, my God.
Jay, there's Eddie, throw down the key. It's me, Millie.
All the way from Mississippi, bro. Come on,
brother.
Soul Brother, don't act like you don't know me. Soul Brother now. Don't act like you don't know me. Don't act like you don't know me, cuz.
That's so funny.
But I just feel that way, man, because so many people are like that. Like, if you think about, like, Roy Cohn, who was a famous lawyer, he worked with Senator McCarthy and the McCarthyism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Roy Cohn, sent Judith and Ethel Rosenberg to the gas chamber for treason.
Yeah.
Yes, right. So at the time, like, he did that, but like, he also exposed people during the communist scare and the lavender scare. He was big in the lavender scare, but Roy Cohn himself was gay. So he ruined the lives of millions of Americans who were in like civil service jobs, knowing full well he was gay.
Right.
Right. But he's in that weird zone where it's like, I mean, and I hate to slip down this hole, but a lot of people that like, you know, like, in slavery, like you give up your humanity in hopes of better, like the kind of like the house Negro thing. You give up your humanity in hopes of better treatment. Oh, you sick? No, we all sick, boss. Like,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. That kind of thing.
I think that makes perfect sense. And I think in a very, you know, if we really wanted to explore this in terms of what it actually means, it just shows the way that white supremacism sort of like seeps into every facet of American culture and experience, right? That like, I think that hurting my own kind will be my salvation. Now, that doesn't make me a hero, but it definitely makes it a more complicated, I guess, villain than we would want it to be. This isn't just this person waking up with like deep seated hatred in their heart. It truly is them thinking, okay, if this means my survival, I will learn to hate the people who move and look like I do.
Absolutely. And that's why I vote Republican, man. You know, like, to save me. Save me. You know, that's why Candace Owens is my best friend.
Sure.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I always feel like, because I went to private school, and I'm just making up for lost time. I'm now in a kind of like a rehabilitation program, just like trusting my own people, loving my own people, loving myself.
Yeah.
That's usually what it is. Cause I went K through 12, then I went to a private college. And then I was like, I was just trying to get like jobs with like kind of like trying to be like the token this and that on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I was like, cause I was actually, what happened was I had deep seated racism. And so when I gave that up, started working with people like Larry Wilmore and everything like that, everything changed in my life, you know? Like,
yeah. So,
I still got a white wife, but you know what I'm saying?
Hey, we can't all be perfect, you know?
It can't be perfect. I mean, that came before, you know what I'm saying? But like, but my kids are damn brown, you know? Like, it's good. I'm doing what I can, man.
I think you talked a little bit about sort of the Republicans, and it reminds me that I read an article that talked about, you know, J. Edgar Hoover has his own film. Leo DiCaprio plays J. Edgar Hoover in the Clint Eastwood portrayal of him. And one of the things that the article talked about is that it delves heavily, this film, into his closeted homosexuality, but conveniently skips over his race. And one of the things that came to mind as they sort of address that is how it's probably a lot easier still, even today, for white people to see him as sane but complex if he's closeted, but much more challenging for them to have that same sort of sense of his sanity and reasoning if he is a person struggling with his racial identity.
Because I don't think not a lot of white people understand that, you know what I'm saying? Because they don't, you know, as they, in their own words, they don't have a culture.
Yeah.
So, look, you know, like, they might not understand what it's like to, like, they're like, Black people have it fine in this country, but they would never change places with them.
You exactly. Know?
Yeah. So the thought is that, you know, Hoover was like suffering from that, you know, like probably because he was a man of secrets too.
Mm-hmm.
If your whole life is just like secrets and you got shit on everybody, he had shit on JFK. He knew about like LBJs, BJs, You know what I'm saying?
Billie Holiday. Everybody.
Everybody. Then you don't trust anybody. You sure as hell don't trust yourself. And it's like, I think that kind of toxic cocktail, you know, like there's no way he would have ever come out as someone like a man of color, or like been, you know, like really lived his truth and would have presented to his dying day that he was white and trusted that he knew his demo and his audience. He knew that his legacy would be like, if anything, okay, then they'll probably say I'm, you know, gay for Clive Tolson, and they won't say anything else about me being black because people can't handle that shit, you know?
I think that's exactly right. He truly was like, and I think the royal we, the white devil, continues to sort of pick and choose what is conveniently okay for us to discover about people and not. And it reminds me, we did a mini episode about all of the various U.S. presidents who have been accused and or proven to have come
accused.
Accused. Yeah, it makes it, you nigger. But they've been sort of okay. They've been aired out as black and or brown people, or secretly having black or brown lineage. And there's six of them outside, obviously, of Obama, who, you know, is the first one who came forward and said it. But there's Thomas Jefferson. There's Abraham Lincoln, apparently, Calvin Coolidge, Warren Harding, Dwight Eisenhower, and my personal favorite, Andrew Jackson. Apparently comes
from. Andrew Jackson, definitely.
But that's, it's that, right? Where it's like you have all of these people who.
Bro, his last name was Jackson.
Like Samuel L.
Like Samuel, you know, come on now. Just saying. I want to see a portrait of his granddaddy, you know?
But that's the thing, right? Is that like, truly, I think it was that his grandfather was a black man. And like, and they could not deal with that. And they refuse to deal with that to this day. And how healing might that be for a lot of generations to know that Andrew Jackson, who spent his entire career doing horrible, malicious things to Native Americans and black people and all kinds of people in this country, was doing it out of a type of self-hatred and not just like an empowered position as a white man doing white man shit in front of all his other white friends.
Right. He went extra sauce with it. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, when you go extra sauce, there's a chance that you just might be what you hate. You know?
Yes. Yeah. That's my takeaway. So you're saying, when I put extra A1 sauce on my steak, I might be A1 sauce.
Absolutely. It's going to hit you right here. It's going to hit you right here. You order that extra guac, you guac.
You guac. I love this, Jordan. This was great. This was a great conversation. Man. I think we nailed it. I think we did all the things. Could you tell you've almost finished your drink, which is very exciting.
Oh, we can always get more.
You don't have to get more. Not on my account now. If you want to get drunk while your kids are sleeping, that's a personal choice. Don't make it my obligation. Definitely.
Not never. I'm a great dad. Never while they're awake. You know what I'm saying? Like
You just wait till they're asleep. Then you go in their room and yell.
Then you.
That's good dad shit.
You know me too well, sir.
Could you tell the people at home where they can find you and what cool shit you have going on?
Absolutely. You can find me at Jordan Carlos on Twitter. You can find me at The Realer Jordan Carlos on Instagram. Yeah. Not like those fake ones. You know what I'm saying? So those are great. Also, please, once again, my show premieres in July, and that's Everything's Trash. It'll be on Freeform and Hulu. Really excited about that. And then you can catch me on AMC Plus on Can We Talk About This, which is also on the Sundance channel. Really excited about that. And Langston, you got to come on and be my guest on that, man.
I would love that. That sounds amazing. Yeah. So yeah, please go check out all of that stuff for Jordan and follow him. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman, and please subscribe, do all the bullshit that you're supposed to do to podcasts so that we get people to hear about this motherfucker and I'm not just speaking into a void, huh? Then wouldn't that be nice if we can make this not a void for everybody's experience?
I'm sure it's not, man. Listen, you're beloved. People love you, man. I saw you have sex with that lady on Insecure.
I thought you have sex with that lady. You're doing fine. Well,
no, this is it. Great, man. Yeah,
we did it. This was a fun one. Bye, bitch.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.